Welcome back to another episode of On Life and Being Human. I am your host, Catherine Colleen, and this is the podcast where we help you create a better life through complete connection to yourself, to others, and the world around you. And today, to your money. Now, what in the world is a guru doing talking about money? Let's discuss. So the meditation that we're going to do today, and this may also be a surprise, a guided meditation about money? Yeah, absolutely. There are few things that affect your life more than money. Well, sure. But did you know that your relationship to your money also affects your spiritual life? And so that's why getting out of debt is a task that I help students embark on in stage three. So of the 11 stages of your journey that you're going through, most people at some point in their personal development journey make the choice to eliminate debt, increase income, or otherwise improve their financial situation. And it's important to support that because it's a huge part of how you, your quality of life, but it's also a reflection of how you see yourself. So I always tell my students, tell me how you're spending your money and I'll tell you what stage you're in. Because we use our money, abuse our money, and actually use it for amazing spiritual connection in all kinds of ways. So this meditation supports the stage three task of connecting to your money by first getting out of debt. And in later stages, we'll be doing meditations for example, solidifying your savings engine, saving up for your dreams and other such things like that. But for now, one step at a time, being patient with it, just getting out of debt. So you have a relationship with your money, whether you want one or not. You see, money is not inherently good or bad or fearful or joyous. And even when I just say that word money, I want you to watch what's happening in your body when I say that. What are you feeling? You may be feeling fear. You may be feeling joy. We have all kinds of beliefs around our money. And these can be some of those either beneficial beliefs or limiting beliefs. So your money is just an extension of you. It's an extension of how you see yourself. It's an expression of how you see yourself. Well, does that mean, and I can hear you saying out there, does that mean that if I'm not living in a mansion with limos and flying on private jets with fancy Instagram accounts that I'm not actually spiritually enlightened? No, no, quite the opposite, actually. But we'll get to that in the discussion. So we're going to be doing the guided meditation today. We'll enjoy that. If meditation is not your jam, then do the playback later, speed it up and do it as a journaling exercise, because we're going to throw some really good questions out there for you to think about. And when we finish that, then I'm going to be taking questions. And when we're finished, I hope you will join me and we can talk about your experiences with money, how it has been a part of your life, and your relationship to it. Let me say now, I am not a financial advisor, but I am happy to share what has worked for me and what I have noticed with other people in terms of the actual practical how-tos of getting out of debt. I love to recommend Dave Ramsey's Baby Steps. If you're any Dave Ramsey fans out there, absolutely love the Baby Steps. For those who have not heard of Dave Ramsey and the Baby Steps, go check him out. Just Google Dave Ramsey Baby Steps. Go to his website. They're right there. You can get the books for more detail, but everything you need to really get going is on the website. And we can talk about that in the discussion as well. If you are not religious, Dave Ramsey does bring religion into it. If you're not into that, just ignore that part and take the good advice and the how-to and go make it happen. So back to this discussion so we can get into this. Let me set the scene here. We attach emotions and beliefs to our money, and that makes all the difference in whether we have more or less and how we use it to improve our lives and the lives of others. So the hardest part of getting out of debt is motivation. You have to be able to see yourself in a situation that you've never been in, which is the situation of being debt-free, of not actually having any debt. And it's hard to imagine yourself in a situation that you've never been in, right? It's one thing to try to imagine yourself doing something you've never done, like paying off debt. And it's a whole other level to imagine yourself being something you've never been, which is debt-free. That's a state of existence. And it's hard to imagine being something you've never been because it affects you. That state of being affects you right down to your core. And that's why it's such an important part of your spiritual journey, for real. So this is why I rolled this in here. So this meditation will support the joyous exercise of dream setting, giving you a vision of your future that will fuel you through this process and connect you more deeply to your money. And we have so many feelings and thoughts around money that while we do this meditation, I want you to kind of put those beliefs, those thoughts, those feelings about what it is, what it should be, what it isn't, the comparisons you make of other people and how they choose to use their money or not use their money, other people's choices. That's none of our business. We want to put all that away, go put it on a shelf. You could take it back down and revel in it later if you want to, but get all that out of the way. You clear the room of those beliefs and those thoughts that you've picked up. And we just want to put them down for a minute and see what comes. So let's begin. Take a moment to get comfortable. You may want to sit or lay down, it doesn't matter. But you definitely may want to close your eyes for this journey if you are in a car. Don't do this while you're driving. Wait till you can be somewhere where you can close your eyes. Or if you want to daydream with your eyes open, that's good too. We'll take a slow, deep breath and let it out like a sigh of relief. Be at peace. You are here now. Take another slow, deep breath, and this time send it out slowly, consciously, with purpose, all the way. Be at peace. You are here now. If you're listening on recording, you can pause and repeat those breaths until you feel relaxed and at peace. Think now about all the debt payments that you make each month. This is going to bring up some feelings. It's okay, they're just feelings. Let them go, put them down. And we'll begin with a question. What could you do if you didn't have to make those payments? What could you do with that money if you didn't have to send that money away? And if you've never been in that situation, this can be hard to imagine. So in other words, if you could do anything, if you could live any lifestyle in any location, spending your time on anything that you like, what would you do? What would you do after the long vacation and after the partying when things settled down and you were seeking meaningful efforts for your time? What would you do? Just you. What is your ideal life? Let's take a minute to daydream a little bit right now. Are there skills you want to have? Do you dream of paying off your home? Or traveling the world, or just living simply? Do you dream of volunteering, or teaching, or getting a degree? Do you dream of being creative, or learning languages? Or just playing with your kids or your grandkids? Dream a little more. Live this dream in your mind. And as you imagine yourself living this dream, how would you feel about your money then? Imagine checking your bank accounts as part of your dream life. You would certainly keep track of your money smartly. Imagine your monthly budget meeting with your spouse or with yourself when you have no debt. And instead, what you are reporting out is your net worth. Watching it go up each month, you have plenty. Money is everywhere. You have more than you need for the life that you want to live. How do you feel about money now? Focus on that feeling for a moment. How does this whole dream feel? Is it joyous? Is it exciting? It's not impossible at all. Repeat to yourself, this can be done. I am worth the effort. And again, this can be done. I am worth the effort. One more time. This can be done. I am worth the effort. Now, when you're ready, bring your awareness back to your surroundings. And I want you to notice how you feel. And where you feel it in your body. Is there joy in the heart? Is there power in the solar plexus? That's interesting. So keep this dream in your mind as you work towards debt freedom. And remember these days, when you do reach your ideal life, remember to look back on the days when you were just beginning. It's not that far off, actually. It's closer than you think. It always does tend to happen a little faster than people expect it to. So return to that exercise as a meditation or as a journaling exercise to reset that dream that is the motivating factor to get out of debt. So again, this is actually important to your spiritual development. Why? And get ready to hit that be a guest button here on the Wisdom app and join me live for discussion. We're going to start in just a second. I want to hear from you, your thoughts, feelings on all this, challenges, experiences. So it's part of the spiritual journey, because if you're sitting there concerned about how you're going to pay rent next month, you don't have the attention and space in your mind. You don't have the luxury, really, of thinking about your spiritual life, of communing with Source, or really getting deep into these big spiritual questions. Having issues or challenges with your money pulls you into stage three. I am my needs. That is the stage where you are focused on your needs, because you need to make rent. You need to put food on the table. And so it matters to improve that relationship with money in this stage, so that as you move forward, you can actually focus on other things, because the money is no longer a focus, a challenge that's pulling you, that's bringing you into fear. So instead, it's just an instrument of your spiritual life, your dream, what you want to do in this world. And it's a joyous thing and it's everywhere, but it's really not something that's hugely in your focus. It's a tool, and of course it's there, it's everywhere. And that's what we want to move to, so that it's not taking up this chunk of your time and your attention and your effort and your income, so that you can have that luxury of, man, this should be a luxury for everybody, isn't it? This should not be rare. You should have that luxury of being able to ask the big questions and think about your purpose and find your purpose and pursue your purpose. But you can't do that if you're worried about making payments. And so let's talk about this. That's why money always does come up with my students. Again, I am not a financial advisor, but I want to just talk to you. I want to have an open discussion about this stuff and bring it to the front, because I know how important it is to address your relationship with money as you are on your journey. So let's talk. I want to hear about where you're at, where you're going, what your dream is, all the things. Share your thoughts with me. So click that button and join me as a guest right now. We've got some fantastic listeners here on the Wisdom app. If you're listening to this on recording and you want to join me live, I do record in the Wisdom app. Follow the link in the show notes, and you can join me live here as well, and we can chat. So let's get somebody in the guest seat right about now and see who we have. Oh, Bhupinder Singh, very cool. Callie, welcome. Pete, Kim, Jimmy, Mark, Grace, Jonathan, Cynthia, Jose, Carolina, Jermaine, and Chad, and Ed, and Aiden, and Cece. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining me. Click that button and let's talk. Let's talk about debt. Let's talk about money as part of the as your journey. It's an integral part, and I may be the only person out there talking about money as part of your spiritual journey. But it matters very much in the beginning to kind of get your financial house in order. And so click the button, join me as a guest, and let's just talk. And this is an interesting subject. So as I work with my students and we go through these stages, money is the last thing anybody wants to talk about. They will talk about their life in the bedroom before they will talk about their money. It's okay. That's how much emotion we tie to money. Isn't that crazy? We tie all these beliefs about ourselves and about other people or what it should be or what it shouldn't be. And all this meaning to this completely inanimate thing that somehow has become necessary so that we can eat. Isn't that interesting? So it's this, it becomes this, is it going to be a, is your relationship with money going to be founded on fear? Or is it going to be founded on joy? Now, we all start in a place where, well, there are a few who don't, but for the most part, we all start in a place where we're starting from nothing. And then sometimes we make some mistakes and we're starting from less than nothing. I am not immune. At one point in when I was in towards the beginning of my journeys, I had done so many stupid things with money that I was in so much debt, it would make your head spin. And if you want to talk about feelings around money, I was that far in debt, but yet, get this, I have a PhD in math. So you cannot tell me a story. Oh my God. Talk about the shame I had around that situation when I realized how it was restricting me. It was restricting me. It was restricting the kind of work I could do. It was restricting the kind of organizations I could work for because I had to get the paycheck to manage that kind of debt, right? It was so restrictive. It's bondage. And I finally got to the point that I was just so sick of it, that I'm like, something's got to give. And I understood it was me, right? That was one of the first steps. I had to take responsibility. I am the one who put myself in this situation. And then I had to get over, oh, shame, guilt, oh, fear, by connecting with it and saying, yes, I'm ashamed of it. Yes, I feel guilty about it. Yes, it was me who did this to me. How could I be so horrible to myself? Yes, before I could move on. And we have a guest. We have Allison joining us here. I love the countdown on the Wisdom app. 3, 2, 1.
Hi.
Allison, welcome.
Hi.
Hey, so tell me what's going on in your world.
I just think it's kind of interesting how, as I was listening to you talk, it's like, the shame about money. Yet when we look at other topics, like, the buildup of laundry or the buildup of something else, We don't have that same sensation of I can't tell anyone about it because everybody goes, oh, I got piles of laundry, hey, you know, here, and
Right.
I got piles of leaves in the backyard. It's like the buildup of anything but this thing called money.
Yes. That's a really interesting point. And I never thought of it that way. And it's funny, as you said that, I'm actually thinking about the laundry I have to do today in the
Well, we all
room.
know we have laundry and we all know we have stuff to, you know, we have
Yeah.
areas in which things pile up, but we don't have the same sense of discomfort in talking about them.
Right. Yes, it's really funny. You know, I'll work with students and I'll be like, okay, now we need to talk about your money. And they'll go, no, maybe we could just talk about my sex life instead. I'm like, nah, like we need to talk about your, like, how bad is it, right? That they would rather go there than talk about their money. And yeah, but you've got to like connect with those feelings, those negative feelings we put on, and I go, okay, I have those feelings, they're just feelings, but you know, forget that. What are we going to do? Right? And
Well,
then start taking that action.
what's interesting too is I'm seeing some differences generationally too, because my dad and I, and it makes sense thinking of about the energy related to money. And he was a doctor, he was a physician, so we didn't lack for money. We also weren't multimillionaires as well. But, you know, there was this, I remember having a particular idea about what I thought about us in relation to money. And then it wasn't until my dad, he died in March, and we became aware as a family of how much debt he had accrued. He'd have three houses at one point. You know, he had no, you know, problem spending money. But it became, I guess, a problem, and we didn't find out until later on in life. But in hindsight, he never talked to me about money. He never talked to me about how to spend it or how to save it or even our own financial situation, which is interesting because I talk to my kids about it all the time because it is something essential to make sure we have food going in our mouths and clothes on our backs. So as they're right now, I have a sophomore in college and a senior in high school and a sophomore in high school. And we talk about this is what we earn as a family and this is how we earn it as a family. This is what your dad does. This is what I do. This is what it looks like. Here's what it costs to buy groceries. And, you know, and if we do incur some debt, like a house or a car or even a vacation, here's what it looks like. And here's what we do about it.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I talk to my kids so much. I mean, they're like sick of it, hearing it from me. And they're all grown now, but when they were teenagers and living at home in high school, it was all of there were lessons. It would be like, sit down, get out the whiteboard, we're talking about money. And they're like, oh God, Mom. And I'm like, no, because please, I don't want you to make the same mistakes that I did. You have an opportunity here to do better. But my parents didn't talk about it either. And it was just sort of, you know, and I guess there's a lot of things they didn't really talk about, but those generations just didn't talk about it. And I couldn't tell you. And the state of your parents' finances, like, it's like a whole other, that's a whole other show, right? Where as your parents are getting older, most of that generation, they don't talk about it, about much of anything, really.
Yo, my stepmom, my mom died when I was 20, but my stepmom had no clue. It was like a complete overwhelm when my dad died in March. It's like, okay, now I have to do what? Pay bills. And so her daughter stepped in and is taking care of everything, but she had no concept of where the money was or how much there was or how do you pay your, you know, for this and that. And it just represented a whole generational school of thought where my dad was the man and he earned the money and don't worry about it, honey, it'll be fine. And, you
Right.
know, three, you know,
Yeah.
the grandkids, his grandkids, you know, my kids, I want them to have an understanding of where we stand in time and space in relationship to money and what it feels like to have a healthy relationship and what it feels like to have an unhealthy relationship. Hopefully, that's not, we're not going to encourage that, but you know,
Right.
They each have their own bank account. They know how much is in there. You know, it's like you got to develop a relationship with, and that's the thing since my dad didn't do that for me, I could see how I developed unhealthy spending patterns because I had no relationship with it and energetically was sort of taking on his pattern of behavior. And luckily, it didn't end up being really bad for us because I caught it. I was like, oh, I can't just spend, spend, spend.
Right. And I did the same thing. I was young and stupid, right? And so, as soon as you turn 18, here come the credit card offers, And if you've had no information and you're going into it completely naive, you go, oh, what a cool idea. I could get this thing that I just really want or I just need it, right? And then, and you pile that up and whatever. I ended up in a my first marriage was very was kind of along all those same negative relationship with money. So it only we only spun each other up and into those bad practices and make it worse and make it worse and make it worse, right? There was no voice of reason anywhere in there. We were both in the same boat. And so when we split up, it's like it wasn't splitting of the assets, it was splitting of the debt. And wow, what a wake up call, and we were both aware of it and yet so unwilling to do anything about it. And I think it's hilarious. Dave Ramsey had to write a book to get my attention. And I think that's very, very funny. Math major can't handle her own money.
Well,
But
it's an
there we
emotional
are.
topic. It's an emotional topic. And
Yes.
even now, as the kids are in college, we had put some away for college, but not when your kid enrolls in a $70,000 a year college. Luckily, the college is paying
Yikes.
half the tuition, right?
Yeah.
Because we wouldn't be there. But then again, there is going to be some debt incurred, most likely. But what does it mean? How much when you actually get the bill at the end of the 4 years are you going to have to pay? How much do you have to earn to pay at least, $2, $3 a month?
Right. And that's it's a calculated decision sometimes, right? Because I beat it into my kids. We don't go into debt. We don't go into debt. We don't go into debt. But we had there were five of them, and so funding them all completely through, college was just sort of not going to be an option. So at some
No.
point, we kind of laid out a plan for them that worked for us. I said, look, we're going to pay for your first 2 years and half of your third year, and it had this whole sort of step down plan to help them start taking over responsibility. And then they
Right.
had to kind of make choices, right? So, but analyzing that, like if you're going to take a student loan, that's a choice of taking on the debt. And is your degree going to be right? What kind of jobs can you get when you get out with that? And what do they pay? And how long would it take you to pay it back, right? And kind of working through all that, like this isn't free money. They are going to want it back. And
Yeah,
now
and
we,
what does it look like?
right. Is your degree justifying this kind of investment? And all kind of all those questions, and I hope that and they all took it a little bit differently. Some listened more than others, but it's tough. So then the money starts getting in with your relationship with your kids, with your relationship with your parents, and with your stepmom. I see that so often in that generation, and it's kind of typical. But also, and you'd be shocked, Allison, in our generation, how often one spouse is not involved, unaware,
Right.
doesn't have the logins or and it just they just and it's totally happy that way, like totally happy, like no, hon, you handle it. And I always, and I try to work with my students, like you need to be on the same page. And sometimes they're afraid to speak up, but how often? I heard a statistic. A cousin of mine is a grief counselor. And was a widow at a young age. I think she was maybe 49. And she had not been in on the finances, even when her husband spent maybe 2 years battling cancer. It still didn't, she couldn't grok the concept that she might be a widow and did nothing to financially prepare, get a grip on the finances, whatever. And so when he did pass, she was left to with this shock of, oh, I have debt. And at the same time, she had dropped out of college to raise children, had no work experience, no degree, no nothing. And we it was kind of worst case scenario And so she became a grief counselor. Now she's got this very cool career going, which is fantastic, helping other widows get a grip before it's too late. And I think that's awesome. But she had a statistic, which was 86% of all women with a male partner, 86% chance you're going to be a widow. And
Wow.
so, what, yeah, right? And that's if your partner's the same age as you. So
Jeez.
sit with that one for a minute. Like, we've got to do better, ladies.
I'm constantly doing calculations if something were to happen because I don't have the biggest income earner job in our house. So I'm constantly, because
Right.
when my parents got divorced when I was 18, I saw my mom, be like, oh my God, because she had some disabilities. And so she was like, oh my God, what am I going to do for food now? And that stuck with me. It's
Right.
like, it could happen to anyone. And unless you have some foresight to think about how you're going to handle it. But unfortunately, now I always think about it. I'm like, all right, so where are we today? How much debt do we have for the car and the
Right.
house? And I'm the one who pays the bills. And ironically enough, my husband just, I do everything in terms, he earns it and I manage everything.
And you're in charge of it. Well, there's a balance there, and you can always, have that kind of monthly budget meeting where you sit down and clue him in on the state of things, and this is my plan, and this is the budget I'm proposing for the month or whatever. And I do something like some very similar in our house, just because I'm the spreadsheet nerd. I love a good spreadsheet. There's nothing better. So as we sit down once a month and I go, here was where everything at. Here's my plan for the month. I want to spend on this, on this, on this, and this is the plan, and we, and he's like, okay. And it's not all bad. He can come at it from the outside and ask questions. Is this what we really need to be doing? Is that what we really need to be doing? Because I've been stuck in the forest the whole time.
Yeah, when my kids were, they showed, I was looking over their work from when they were younger, and one time in like, I don't know, third or fourth grade, one of my kids did a, my mom is type of thing. One of the words they used is thrifty. So there is no worry of, me spending things on art necessities because before I spend any money, I will find it cheaper.
Right. Yes. And it's funny. So many people do that when they're in their journey of getting out of debt. They get real thrifty, right? Because they want to put the, even if they're not to begin with, you become it. And then there's this whole phase later of having to learn to loosen up a little bit. And but it's tough, because I still love a good bargain. I really
Oh,
do.
I will not like clothes and stuff. You just get a Marshalls and get them cheaper. Like, why would you pay
Yeah.
retail? It's the same stuff.
Right? Like, why would I do that? I'm still that way. You wouldn't even believe it. I just don't go like shopping. But every now and again, it's worth it to once you get out of debt to make an investment or spend a little bit on something that's just pure joy or something. But even that, it takes a little getting used to. And so in our last minute on the timer, what advice would you give to people out there that are just sitting on that precipice? They have no clue. They just woke up to it. Oh my God, what do I do? What would you recommend? And we're not financial planners here, unless you
Yeah.
are.
No, I'd
But,
recommend being honest with how you feel because it's not as scary as you think it is. It's the fear that's the most, that's the scariest thing. It's not the actual involvement in the process. It's the fear, it's the emotion. So it's okay that it's overwhelming. It's okay that it's scary, but just keep, find the right financial advisor, find the right person to help you through it. But don't not do something because you're uncomfortable. It'll change. That'll change.
right. The feelings around it do change. Oh, this was awesome. Thank you, Allison. This was such a great conversation. And there's so many topics in there. There's 10 different talks on that. But thank you for joining me. That was so cool. So many topics in there. And I hope that we can have talks on that. And if you want to join me, my guest seat is open. Click that button. Get on in here and let's talk about your experiences, your questions, your challenges. Again, I am not a financial advisor. I am not giving you securities advice, but I am sharing just what has worked for me, and we're sharing with each other what has worked for us. And so debt really, it will not 100% restrict your spiritual growth, your personal growth, but what it'll do is it'll keep pulling you back around to stage three. So you'll just be starting to really kind of make some great progress in terms of understanding yourself and finding purpose and spiritual connection. And the next thing you know, some payment hits or at the first of the month and you're pulled right back around again to stage three. I am my needs, and you're feeling the fear and the shame. And so it delays your personal journey. It won't stop at 100%, but it does delay. It does sort of hold you back a little bit and get in the way periodically. So that's why I recommend to people, as part of their personal journey, their spiritual journey, you've got to look at your relationship to money, because it's telling you something. So I'll often tell people, you know, show me how you spend your money and I'll show you what stage you're in. So we see people, I mean, hell, I was one of them long ago, and where you're buying stuff because the stuff will make you feel better. And you have this need, you're trying to fill this void with a thing. And you get the thing. And maybe you even go in debt to get the thing. The thing might be a car. It might be an outfit, an object for your house. It doesn't matter. It's a thing. And I just need this, right? You find yourself saying those words. Well, I just need this. I just need this vacation. I just need this car. I just need this. Rarely is it a legitimate need. What it is I need it to fill a void. I need it to make me feel a certain way that my life is not making me feel. Ouch. There's some truth. You want it because it makes you feel a certain way. And so one of the ways that helps people get out of debt is that, because again, the motivation, this is why it can be hard and overwhelming and scary. The emotion that you attach to it, the fear, the shame, and so forth. It doesn't need to be. It's so incredibly common in Western societies to have a point in your life where you've stacked up some debt, maybe even a lot. I don't even want to tell you what my number was at a point. Scary. Because we're sort of raised in it, right? Society will say things like debt is a tool. It's a tool for your enslavement. It certainly is. But it's, I could preach it all day. I don't want to preach it all day. Click that button and get in here. Tell me what you think and your experiences and your wake up moment or your questions or your challenges around it. But one of the things is we still have these emotional needs that we sometimes try to fill with things or with spending on something. And so one useful question you can ask yourself is, how could I feel that way without spending money? Can I get that feeling, right? What are you looking for? I'm trying to feel safe. I'm trying to feel at peace. I'm trying to feel cared for. Often what it really is, I'm trying to feel worthy. Yeah. So that's why it's such an integral part of your personal journey. Because we're trying to get to that place where we feel worthy of our own love, worthy of our own respect, and then therefore worthy of other people's love, worthy of other people's respect. And you said, hey, I thought this was about money. Yeah, it was, because look at how you're using it. So typically when you're in the buy a lot of stuff stage, I just need it, and willing to go into debt to get the things, that's stage three. You're in stage three. I am my need. You have emotional needs that aren't being filled. Obviously if what you're buying is food, you have actual needs. You need to eat. But later on, what you'll see, it's not that people aren't spending, they're spending a lot less, they're saving a lot more, they're investing for what? For the future. For the future what? Well, they don't know, but it's going to be amazing. And then you get to a point where you do know what you want that future to be. And now you've got the money to do it. So they're still spending. And it may be a lot or it may be a little. But what the money is being used for are things that bolster that purposeful life. Now, some of those might be actual things. Some of those might be experiences, but the choice of the things and the experiences is usually a lot less things and a lot more experiences and opportunities that then open kind of more of that purpose. But I want to see what you think about it. Click the My Guest Seat is Open. Join me now. We have all sorts of fabulous people listening in today. Welcome, Jamie. Welcome, Kim. Welcome, Jose. Welcome, Alejandro. Welcome, Paul and Jimmy and Darian and William and Trevor and so many cool people. Liz Howard, I see you there. So click the button. Join me as a guest. Talking about money. This is really fascinating. So I was so fascinated with our human relationship to money, our psychological and emotional and energetic and spiritual relationship with money. I did an entire study on it. And that was the basis for the book, Validation, Sabotage, and Freedom, which is about the nature and effect of money. Just the nature and effect of it. It does not tell you how to get out of debt. Go read Dave Ramsey for that. But it talks about the nature and effect of it on yourself, on your relationships, and on the world at large. And that actually is one of the books I'm most excited about. So you can check that out, Validation, Sabotage, and Freedom. Because of those are the three major effects, nature and effect of money on yourself and on other people and on your life. And we heard about some of those things with Allison, these situations that we can so easily fall into. So it affects your spouse relationship. It affects your romantic relationship. And so as we wait for another guest to join me, click the button, get in here. I want to know what you think. I want to know your experiences, your questions, your challenges, absolutely whatever you want to talk about around this concept of debt and getting out of it and our relationship to money. It helps so many others when we talk about it openly. And so there's all these different relationship issues that come into it for couples around money as well. And I'm always impressed by what happens in a relationship when you go from a state of being in debt to a state of being out of debt. And let me share that with you if you've not experienced this. If you have experienced it, click the Join Me as a Guest button and let's talk about it. But the way it kind of goes is you're paying off debt. And during the time when you're paying off debt, you're serious. You're attacking it, right? You're selling whatever you could sell. As Dave Ramsey puts it, you're selling so much stuff the kids think they're next. You're creating side gigs to get more money in there to pay down the debt. You're going for it, right? You're not eating in a restaurant. You're just focused. And you've ratcheted down that budget so tight that there's just not one more thing that could be eliminated. And you're going like that, right? And it's you treat it like a war campaign. And this brings a bonding between you and your spouse when you're in this together. It's called shared suffering, shared commitment. And you end up bonded as a couple because you're in it together against the debt. And this deepens your relationship. And then when you get out of debt, you hit that mark and you paid the last bill. And there aren't going to be any more debt bills anymore. And the only bills that are showing up in your mailbox now are going to be like the water bill and the electric bill and maybe the mortgage or the rent. But no car payments, no credit card payments. All those bills that you hated going to the mailbox because they were showing up, that's not coming anymore. And it takes like a month or two to really grok your situation. You sit there for a month, right? So you go, oh my God, this is our last debt payment. Babe, we're debt free. And you'll celebrate in some fashion, probably without spending a whole lot. And then it gets really good from there. And so let's see who we have. Jose. Jose's going to join me to talk now about these experiences. Welcome, Jose.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, thank God, because I've been having problems with this 15 iOS Apple system upgrade, whatever it is.
Oh.
But I understand exactly what you're talking about because I'm a financial advisor. So I
Yeah.
teach people how to get out of debt. I show them the way, you know, either it's either through insurance, mortgage loans, retirement accounts, mainly. And I learned this at 18 years old, which was amazing to me because I didn't know the whole, it's a secret. People don't really know, you know,
Yeah.
how to get out of debt. How to get out of debt, really. Yes, you have to go through, like you said, suffering. Maybe it's not suffering. To some, it might be because you're so used to living the good life, you know, going to restaurants, eating out instead of cooking at your home and saving yourself money.
Yeah.
Or buying bottled waters instead of getting a 5 gallon, you know, container that supplies you for a whole dollar, maybe $2 for the whole 2 weeks or a month. Just depends how you drink water, but
Right.
it's so like self-explanatory if you really put your thoughts into it on how to save money and get out of debt.
Yeah, so what do you do when your clients, they have all this emotion around it and all this emotional attachment in their relationship with money, how do you get them through that?
A lot of relationships, I know they end because of money, because of debt, because they're so worried about what they owe, what they have to do the next day, you know, how to make ends meet so their kids can eat the next day.
Yeah.
And it's, I try to show them, you know, the pattern of how much they're making, how to evaluate the expenses needed and not needed, or, you know, just put them in a simple plan where they can find out exactly what they need to get rid of in their budget.
Yeah, I think it really helps to have someone guide you through that, right? Who's on the outside of the situation that can say, no, you can do this. You've got this. Here, just do it like this, and keep you encouraged and going. And at some point, folks, you've got to, it's really smart at a point to bring in a financial advisor like Jose, to bring in someone who can look at your situation from the outside and make recommendations for all the stuff like the investments and the stuff, you know, after you've gotten out of debt and you start to end up having cash that you can kind of work with. But it's, yeah, and it's funny, Jose, when I work with students, their money is like the last thing they want to talk about. Like they just will avoid it like the plague. They do not want to talk.
I believe it. I was, you know, young at once. I'm 37 right now, but I started at 18, and they opened my eyes, financial advisors, because I was surrounded by them, and I don't know how to explain it. It was my destiny to be a financial advisor and show people the way, you know, to retire early if you want, or, you know, get yourself out of debt. It was all about that. It was so inspiring to me at 18 because I was one of those kids that was not in the right place. You know, I was living in Watts, California. I was, how can I say, you know, I was not even considered middle class because my
Yeah.
parents didn't make much. So I was lower class, I would say. But I learned how to deal with money and the numbers made sense. Especially with dealing with banks, you gotta know about banks, the way they're percentage. You
Right.
gotta know about interest rates. You gotta know about all of that in order to become debt free as well.
Right. You need to understand what that compound interest is doing to you. And then when you get out of that, then you have this understanding of what compound interest can do for you. And that's another point where people have trouble then, right, is when they do get out of debt and they do have some money and they want to invest and save and maybe this the dream of the retiring early, right? But there's so many products out there in the investment world. Some people, I mean, it's a full-time job if you want to get into it yourself, but it helps to have somebody else to kind of help you navigate all those different concepts. You know, even just, oh, retirement account sounds simple. No, it's not. There's like all these different ways you can do it. And a good financial advisor is everything at that point. And it also helps kind of prevent you from doing anything too stupid. You know, my financial advisor pretty much thinks like we're nuts at this point, but he, you know, hey, send me, you know, this much for, I'm going to go do this thing. And he'll pause and think about it for a little bit, you know, and kind of make sure, walk you through it. Are you sure that's what you want to do? Tell me why, or what. I was like a money therapist. That's
yeah,
what you
they
are,
want
Jose.
A whole explanation. Yes, they want a whole explanation. Why are you doing this? Why are you making this move? Is it going to benefit you or not?
Yes. Yeah, it's great. And I'll be like, well, Dad, you know, because I want to do it. And eventually, like, if you really want to be, you know, do something, he's not going to stop you. But it is kind of nice to have that sort of voice of reason from the outside in there. You know, he's our money therapist. He's awesome. And is one of the huge reasons why we were able to retire early. Retire, that's a funny word. That means we think of that as just sit on the porch and complain about the kids on your lawn, but it's not. It just means have the opportunity to do whatever you want, to whatever your soul is called to do, right? Whether that, maybe that makes money, maybe that doesn't make money, but it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't. As long as you're happy at the very end. So
right.
Yes, that's the whole point of retirement. Being happy before you die.
Yeah. Yeah, doing the things that make you feel excited or make you feel purposeful. You know, for some people, that's, you know, different types of volunteering. But it could be I always wanted to start my own business around some, you know, whatever. Or who knows what? Everybody's so unique. You'd think everybody would be out there just partying on the beach, but they're not.
I know, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
You're so amazing. You're amazing. I'm glad you brought up this subject because I was like, whoa, you know, I know a lot about this. So I was like, well, let me just jump in and see what's up.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And I'm so glad you could join us because I am not a financial advisor. I've had my own experience. I even wrote a book about money, but it was more about the nature and effect of money. It's more of a sociological and psychological discussion of how it affects people and their relationships and things. But I kind of, you know, I work with students at the 10,000 foot level, and then I go, now go get yourself a financial advisor, you know, now go get yourself a personal trainer, right, to handle these sort of specific pieces of whatever. So it ends up this whole network of folks like us that support people in their journeys, and it's so important.
Yeah, and one thing I do want to bring up before, you know, my time is over, I don't know how much time I have, because I'm actually driving to one of my offices right now, but
yeah, I think we've still got about 6 minutes. We've got a pretty healthy set.
Awesome, yes. The rule of 72. Have you ever heard of that?
No, what's that?
It's really true. Let's say you invest your money in a bank, okay? This is a good example, just to, you know, to put it out there.
Yeah.
Your money will double in 72 years at a 0.01%, which what a bank offers for your savings. Now, if you invest in mutual funds, of course, a lot of people prefer stocks, which is different. That's completely, your money is not guaranteed, or an interest.
Right.
It's not guaranteed. But mutual funds have to do with government agencies, where your money is guaranteed at a higher percentage rate. So your money doubles instead of 72 years in a bank, it'll actually double every 6 to 8 to 12 years. It depends on the percentage rate from 6 to 8 to 12% instead of a 0.01.
Right.
Which is what the bank offers you. So that's the rule of 72.
Right.
It would take 72 years for your money to double.
Right. Yikes.
Yeah, exactly. You're just putting your money in a savings that's going to take 72 years for it to double. Oh, my God.
You won't be here to enjoy it.
Exactly. No.
Yeah. So what's sort of the first thing that you, so when you have a client come in and they have sort of just financially woken up, it has just occurred to them that they have this debt and they feel overwhelmed, they feel shame, they feel guilt, they feel all the things, and they just kind of like, oh my God, what do I do? What do I do? Cause I have this, you know, I have dreams too, and I don't want to be wallowing in this debt. What's like sort of the first thing that you start them off with?
First of all, I would start them off with the things they need and they don't need, like subscriptions. Of course, that's, you know, I would say that's number one right there. Also, they need to focus on exactly what they need to make a whole dialogue of what they need, categorize it, you know,
mm-hmm.
especially if they're not getting government help. If they're depending on feeding their household with the money they make,
mm-hmm.
then it all, you know, brings, you got to break it out. You
right.
got to put away the things you don't need, like eating out every weekend or things like that. You put it aside. You don't need that right now. Later, right. you deserve it. So
yes.
you put that aside, and I tell them, you know, you've got to save money. At least this percentage will make you that money that you need to make this payment. And
right.
And help them how to avoid a long-term, which is a long-term loans, the mortgages, I would pretty much put it, that's my best example, mortgages. Mm. You can turn a 30-year mortgage into a 15-year or a 10-year mortgage.
Right.
Yes. You just gotta
yeah.
know how.
Yeah, how and when, right? Depending on what the interest rates are and,
yes.
you know, all of these yep. things. Yeah, this is why what you do is so important, Jose. This is exactly why. Because it can feel so complicated to people that aren't versed in it. And even when I approached it, I just wasn't, you know, entirely sure where to begin. And so it just helps to have some advice.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. So, one thing that Jose that you mentioned is that how you don't need to be eating out on the weekends. My husband and I, when we were going through our debt freedom, we actually instituted $5 date night because we wanted to have a date night that was important to our relationship, but we didn't want to spend any money to do it, right? The eating out traditional date. So we said, okay, you've got $5. We've got $5 to create a romantic evening.
And you see, and, that's and what you're, it, thinking about yeah. the future. You're thinking about the
yeah.
future.
Yeah, because you're planning that future together, but I tell you what happened. A date where you only have $5 means a date where you are sitting and talking to each other.
I completely understand.
You know, having real connection and real conversation, probably in a beautiful outdoor setting of some kind because it's free. And, you know, we would go get some little $5 box of wine and take it down to the river and sit. And they were the best. Yeah. So I think we've just got.
Yes. I'm sure we're running out of time. But thank you.
Yeah,
we
just. Yes. Thank you so much, Jose. Any last bit of advice for everybody out there?
any mentors out there, I say follow each other, because we don't know the answer to everything. And we're all, categorized in different ways. We know different, we have different experience. So follow each other, give people good advice.
Ah, perfect. Perfect. Thank you so much, Jose. That was awesome. And it's true. I found that the greatest help for everyone tends to be when we have this whole network of people, of mentors who specialize in sort of different things to help them. So down here where I just opened the tiny ashram in Dunedin, Florida, if you're in the area, give me a call. Even though I work with people kind of all over the country, they tend to end up in little pockets, right? Mostly because of referrals. And so here down in Dunedin, I am working to find all the other mentors and all their other specialties, the personal trainers, the financial advisors, and so on, to kind of form this network around people to help them in their journey. So many great meditators here on Wisdom. All right, so I'm going to get ready to wrap up this episode of On Life and Being Human. Thank you so much for joining me. If you're listening to the recording, get the app, get the Wisdom app, and join me live. Follow my profile so you know when I'm going live, you can join me, and let's talk about these things and help everyone. Thank you so much, everyone. As always, I will be wishing you Purna Asati, complete connection.